We come to the time of our service in which we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And where I'm headed towards is Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But we're not going to start there. We're going to finish there. And we are headed towards the cross. As this particular passage, especially verse 13, accomplished for us, speaking of it lifting the curse. I want to talk about that concept for a moment, the curse. What is a curse? I don't know how it happened. Somewhere through time, the concept of cursing changed its meaning in our society. When people think of cursing, they think of using filthy language, bad words, words that are going to be out on the radio or television. That's not cursing. That's filthy language, but it's not necessarily cursing. We are told not to curse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. It says that we're supposed to bless and not curse. Parts. It's really to pray against. And you can use perfectly fine words, words that would not get your mouth washed out by your grandmother, and still be cursing. See, cursing is wishing, is calling upon forces to bring doom upon somebody. Now, sometimes it does get bleeped out. Sometimes you're calling upon God to somebody, and that's a curse. That's cursing. It's not inherently wicked. It's not always wrong. I know, because Jesus cursed. Now, Jesus didn't use filthy language, but Jesus did curse. I give you an example of that in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Come to Jerusalem. It says, on the next day when they had left Bethany, he became hungry, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Now, if you skip down to verse 19, it says, when evening came, they would go out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And so he's given us an example of a curse here. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And when God says that to you, you're in trouble. And this tree now is cursed, and it is simply doomed. It will never produce fruit. It's not going to get to say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to not have fruit, and then it's going to have fruit later on. No, it's cursed. It is simply doomed. And then this is what God does to the soil of the earth in Genesis 3 and consequence of the sin of man. He curses the earth, and so now the earth is going to fight. It's going to fight and resist the will of men, and there's going to be weeds, and there's going to be challenges. That's a curse. Or there's an odd case in circumstance in which if you have a married woman who is suspected of cheating on her spouse, but you don't have proof, you took her to the temple, and you would take some holy water, some water that was from the temple, take some of the soil that was from the tabernacle, you'd put it in the water, and you would have her drink it. And this now was a curse on her. And it would make us swear that I did not do anything inappropriate. I did not do anything wrong. But if she did, what was inside her now was a curse that would make her stomach swell and her thighs just wither away, and then everybody would know whether she was guilty or innocent, and now she has put within her this curse. Or there's the time when Joshua has conquered Jericho, and God instructs Joshua, you put a on Jericho. And this is just like in the movies. You know, when you find the mummy and you don't open it, because if you open it, there's a curse, and now you got a movie. And so now we have to remove the curse, right? That's what Joshua was doing with Jericho. They conquer Jericho in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. They put a lasting curse on it. Then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son he shall set up its gates." Now what happens is, that what happened during the invasion and conquest time period, after the time of the judges, after the time of the United Kingdom, during the time of the divided kingdom, when Ahab is king, it says in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34 that somebody, after all that time, hadn't remembered or hadn't believed this curse. And so this man named Hiel, in verse 34 of 1 Kings 16, he goes in, he rebuilds Jerusalem. "In his days, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid its foundations with the loss of Eberim, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun." And so he builds it, cursed, and his children die. Or there's the time with Balak. In Numbers chapter 22, and the first six verses, Balak, he sees millions of people right outside his gates. He sees the Israelites coming, and he says, "This just will not work." And he goes to Balaam, this relationship with God, and he knows that whoever Balaam blesses will be blessed, and whoever Balaam curses will be cursed. And he says, "All right, Balaam, I need you to curse them, because on my own, I cannot conquer them. I cannot defeat them. But if you will curse them, why then I can beat them, and they can't win." And of course, there's this long thing that goes on, which includes a talking donkey and a prophet who nearly gets killed. And ultimately, God says, "Don't curse these people, they're mine." But do you understand what was happening to those millions of people who were sitting down there and had no clue? I mean, maybe somebody was looking up and saying, "Hey, look, on top of that mountain, there's a fire." And then the next day they look over and say, "Hey, look over there, there's a fire." But they had no idea that their doom was being decided with them not being any part of it. There's this man up there who's deciding, will I give them a blessing or a curse? And if he had cursed them, it didn't matter how great their army was. It didn't matter how great their strategy was. They couldn't win because they were cursed. Now, of course, God wouldn't let that happen. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 4 through 5, as Moses recounts what had happened with Balaam up there, really, it's verse 5. "Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam. He turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you." And so God fought for them, and God refused to let Balaam to curse them. Instead, Balaam had to bless them, and as a result, the people would be victorious and could not be stopped. So what is a curse? It is a desperate and hopeless situation. Especially if that curse is from God. If God has put a curse on you, you cannot win. You're like that tree. You can't get up and go to another spot and maybe there you'll be okay. You're like Hiel. But what if Hiel hadn't done it? What if Hiel hadn't built Jericho? As near as I can tell, that curse was timeless. That curse would have lasted for 100 years, 200 years, several thousand years. What if it was Brian? And Brian decided, "I'm going to go rebuild Jericho." And then we told Brian, I was reading the scriptures, and you rebuild Jericho, and that means you're going to lose two sons. He only has two sons. What would you do to get out of that curse? How much would you be willing to pay? How far would you go if you knew God has dictated, God has demanded my sons die because of what I've done? When you have a curse on you, you need help. And what is described to us then is that the law is a curse on us. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the ways which I am commanding you today." Chapters 20 and 20. So here's the curse. If you don't, and we know it, none of them obeyed. They didn't keep the law perfectly, and so the law became a curse to everybody. It became a curse of condemnation to them and a curse of exclusion to us who are not Jews. But it was a curse to everyone, and it ultimately means the same thing. Rather than God being for you, God is against you. And so he lists all the problems. He says, you're going to have disease. The land's going to fight against you. The armies are going to fight. I'm going to fight against you because you are cursed. And the Jews were cursed. And truly, we were cursed. And so we go over to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, "For as many as you, as many are of the works of the law, are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.' Now the one is justified. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Curses one is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" And so, whether we'd understood it or not, we rebuilt Jericho, and we're the ones who are cursed. And we need to be redeemed. We need to be saved. And only Jesus could do it. And it wasn't like in the movies where what's going to happen is there's this curse and all you got to do is learn Egyptian and read the Egyptian hieroglyphs and say this special incantation or wave a wand and the curse will be lifted. It's not like that. Jesus, in all of his power and all of his might as the Son of God, the only way he could lift our curse was to die on the cross for us. Now maybe nobody else can answer this quite as well as Brian could, but if Brian had Jericho and somebody had lifted that curse, what would that mean to you? How much would you be thankful? How much would you give praise and honor to the one who did it for you? We've gathered together to rejoice. The curse has been lifted. We gather together to remember. The curse was lifted through the death of Jesus on the cross. And we've gathered together to say thank you. We've gathered to partake. Let us partake of the Lord's Supper.